Vignette number 66 from Zen is right here, teaching stories and anecdotes of Shunryu Suzuki. This one is different from the others in that it's an image. It's in the middle of the book on both sides. It's a crumpled piece of paper opened up, but you can see all the crumples. It says, "I hope you are enjoying the wisdom of the Buddha." So, I only know a little bit about this. Shunryu Suzuki wrote that. Very nice handwriting. Cursive. And he gave it to, here's what it says in the book. Written circa 1970 by Shunryu Suzuki with a brush on rice paper used to wrap a present he gave to his much-loved and mentally disturbed student, E.L. Hazelwood. Richard Baker retrieved the crinkled remains from a waste paper basket and now has it mounted on a wall at Crestone Zen Mountain Center in southwest Colorado. Well, I guess that explains it pretty well. E.L. was there early on. I think he might have been at the first practice period. I could check the picture from the fall. Go to Cuke.com. There's this group picture. It's also the photo I use for Podbean, Cuke Audio Podbean, the host for the podcast. There's a group picture that was taken 1967 in the fall after the first practice period. And yep, there's E.L. right in the center on top to the left of the tallest person, Tim Buckley. And E.L., he was from Texas, not far from where I was, where I'm from. I'm from Fort Worth. He was from West Texas, but a little bit in the north, I think. He said he grew up on his daddy's pea patch. And talking to him about what it was like where he grew up, I get the image of the town presented in the movie, the Bogdanovich film, the excellent Bogdanovich film, The Last Picture Show. A rather desolate little town with not a great deal happening. You know, the sort of place young people want to get out of. But of course, a lot of them end up getting married early. E.L. was older than most of us. I'd guess if he were alive today, he'd be 85. So maybe born in 1935. I write a good deal about E.L. in Tassara Stories, in the drafts for Tassara Stories, and I'm reading them now to go up on Tuesdays. So I'll probably come into it. E.L. definitely had mental problems. I mean, he was our mechanic. He was soft-spoken. He was fun. Everybody liked him. I remember one day he took me up behind the baths, way up on the ridge up there. I mean, we had to hike around. It was a good 20-minute hike to get there. You know, you got to go out to Grasshopper Flats and find a place to cross the creek and go up the side of the mountain there. And there's a trail going up there. It goes up behind the, you know, the creek, the other side, up sort of high, and then comes down on the other side at the far end of Tassajara. Anyway, he took me way up there, and then up beyond where the trail was to a little spot, really nice spot. And there was a little cement pyramid about 2 feet tall. And he tilted it to the side, and it was hollow on the inside. And it had little talismans and figures and objects in it. Like, I don't remember what, like a feather and maybe, but just weird things, like maybe a little toy soldier and a neat little rock and just stuff in there. And he looked at me with a smile like, isn't this wonderful? And also like, isn't this mysterious? So that's one experience I had with the owl. I remember when Tatsugami came, who we called Tatsugami Roshi, of course. He led the practice period in 1970 in the spring. And then in that fall and the following spring, he did 3 practice periods, and he sort of whipped Tassajara into shape with a good deal of influence from Eheji Monastery, and greatly increased the number of chants and the types of chants and the positions and stuff. And people liked him. Some people didn't like him. I liked him. He was interesting. He was a tough guy. He was like a sumo wrestler. He was a sumo wrestler. At age, he was the sumo champ there. Philip Wilson said Tatsugami beat him turned his hair white. And Philip Wilson was a much feared lineman for the Stanford football team. Anyway, when Tatsugami got there, he asked, who's that guy? You know, not immediately, but after a while, you know, there'd be meetings with the officers. You know, who's that guy who's not coming to the Zendo? Well, maybe sometimes, but he'll be standing above the Zendo in his work clothes. And maybe put on his robes for work. You know, he was contrarian. He hadn't always been. He'd have periods. And we said, oh, that's EL. Things were very accepting with Suzuki there. We said, what do you mean that's EL? Oh, yeah, well, he's different, you know. Well, he doesn't belong here. He can't follow the schedule, you know. He doesn't belong here. He should go. So the next day, someone drove EL out to the city. And he'd do all right in the city sometimes, but then he got into suicidal behavior and was burning himself over the burners in the kitchen at Page Street. And he was in Napa Mental Hospital. And at one point, hey, this is great, he was at Green Gulch, and he was on aid to the totally disabled. And he was getting, like, you know, a check for like $1,500 a month. And he turned it over to Green Gulch. And Then one day he wasn't there. And he'd taken his check and cashed it and flown to Rio de Janeiro. Anyway, oh gosh, and I remember in this city, and he was found rolling in the gutter in the street. He ended up killing himself. So that's sad, but I don't know. That was his path in this incarnation. And, you know, that's what he experienced. And, you know, that karma will continue and work itself out in ways we can't imagine. And like Suzuki wrote on that piece of paper, I hope you are enjoying the wisdom of the Buddha. This has been a Cuc Audio mini podcast. I'm DC Poobah of Cuc Audio and Cuc Archives, coming to you from Sleepy Sanur with Dog and Bandita, Feline Cuchita, and dear lovely Katrinka, and wishing you and yours and all of us a grand awakening.